You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke and Cameron Parker of Predominantly Orange, your daily Broncos podcast.
Welcome to a Locked On crossover. This is where we go behind enemy lines every week to see what the other side is doing. Robert Land, host of Locked On Texans, with you, along with Cody Rourke, host of Locked On Broncos. And Cody, guess what? We got some fun stuff to talk about. Demaryius Thomas to the Texans for a fourth round pick, and they're swapping sevens. Tell us what to think. What should we be? Should we be happy? Should we be worried? What do you think of that deal from a Texans perspective and a Broncos perspective?
You know what? I'll tell you from the Broncos perspective, very bittersweet day in Broncos country. You know, Demaryius Thomas was a key member, arguably the best wide receiver in Broncos franchise history, alongside Rod Smith, who openly rooted for him to surpass his records. You know, a bittersweet day for Houston's fans. You know, I guarantee you, come into it with an open mind. You're looking at a guy that played with Peyton Manning. You're looking at a guy that's had, you know, some ups and downs, had his best peak years with Peyton Manning, had a pretty good year when Tim Tebow was the quarterback for the Broncos. Now, it's kind of dropped off a little bit when you had Trevor Siemian. Quarterback was a big issue there. He's been fairly consistent this year with Case Keenum. It's just the thing is, the Broncos have other weapons getting open, like Emmanuel Sanders and Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, Demaryius Thomas still being a very reliable target, second on the team this year for the Broncos in terms of receptions and yards. But, Houston fans should be excited for what they're getting out of Demaryius Thomas. You're going to get a guy that's a veteran. He's a good leader in the locker room, in the community. He's a guy that will mentor some of those younger wide receivers. He's a guy that Deshaun Watson can find a little bit of solace with outside of DeAndre Hopkins, because guess what? DeAndre Hopkins, easily the best wide receiver on the Texans right now. You add a guy like Demaryius Thomas, he'll move to a number two wide receiver spot for the Texans in this point, especially with the injury to Will Fuller. We'll talk about that here a little bit later. But with Demaryius Thomas, you're going to get a guy that's going to be reliable. When it matters the most, crunch time situations, he's a guy that Deshaun Watson can count on, especially if you have teams trying to double cover or bracket cover, DeAndre Hopkins. You're going to have Demaryius Thomas as an option for Deshaun Watson to try to get the ball to. And I think that's going to be a big difference maker. I think he's going into a good situation down there in Houston. You know, like you said, the Houston Texans are red hot right now. Demaryius Thomas, I think eventually, you know, when it's all said and done, when he's done in Houston, I think he will sign a one-day contract with the Broncos and retire a Bronco. But you know what? Texans fans should be excited. They're getting a very good professional guy on and off the field. They're getting a good leader at wide receivers. They're getting a guy that can be very productive for them.
Five-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro. You guys know that. Our Texans listeners might not. Career 665 catches, over 9,000 yards, 13 yards a catch, 60 receiving TDs. In 8 years, he's had four coaches and more than six QBs. But I guess the concern is, and you tell me, I mean, you've got Case Keenum throwing him the ball this year. The quarterbacks haven't been the same since Peyton Manning. His yards per catch has decreased for the last five straight years. Does he still have that speed? And of course, the other thing everybody wants to know is dropsies. He's got some drop problems over the last few years. Maybe over the course of his career. Is that something that should be a concern for Texans fans?
No, I don't think it should. You know, this is the number one analysis you'll hear from people. You know, obviously drops have been a concern. He had that 1 year. It's not an excuse. He had that 1 year when his mother was, you know, waiting on the board to see if she'd be released from prison. I mean, she was going to be sitting in prison for life. But at this point, you know, she was somebody that was considered and pardoned. And it was during that year we saw Demaryius Thomas start to have issues with drops. I don't know if his focus was all the way there. Demaryius Thomas has played banged up. He's had hip injuries since he's been in the league. He hasn't missed a game as a Denver Bronco since being drafted. He's been a very durable guy for them. So really, he's been a tough guy. He's just grinded. You know, he's had off games. He's He's had games where he's had drops. Absolutely. This year he's had four drops on 57 targets. Not too bad. A couple of those drops came early on in the season. One of those plays, you know, I don't really count it as a drop when you have, you know, Bruce Irvin in your face on a quick screen route. He blew up a play, blew up the Broncos blocker, hit Demaryius Thomas as he went to go catch the ball. I don't count that as necessarily a drop, but stats do. Demaryius Thomas, you don't have to worry about things like that. You're going to get a guy that's reliable. You're going to get a guy that's fairly consistent. I mean, Demaryius Thomas week in and week out since having that kind of game against the Oakland Raiders week two of the NFL regular season has been very solid for the Broncos. They had a big game against the Jets. A lot of that came late in the game as they made a push. And, you know, three targets, three catches this past week against the Chiefs. You know, a lot of that is due to the offensive coordinating, the play calling, things like that haven't been going to Demaryius Thomas. They've been going to Emmanuel Sanders. It's been going to tight ends. It's been going to Phillip Lindsay out of the backfield. It's been going to, you know, Tim Patrick on one play. Demaryius Thomas is that guy that, you know, he'll catch a route at 5 yards and he'll get you an additional six and then go down, you know, on a slant route or on a small post route, things like that. He's going to get you yards. He's going to be reliable and he's going to be a very big weapon for Deshaun Watson and the Texans in the red zone. The Broncos this year have struggled in the red zone. Case Keenum struggled in the red zone. I think going into Houston, you have a situation where, like I said, teams are going to have to worry about DeAndre Hopkins. It's going to be a perfect opportunity for Demaryius Thomas to have some success, and you guys are going to get a good guy. You know, I think the Broncos are going to really miss him. I know I'm going to miss him. One of the most professional people I've ever covered in the National Football League, so it's been fun.
Are you happy with this deal from a Broncos perspective? I mean, the thought was we got younger guys, you know. That's what I hear.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I think it's bittersweet, you know, and the reason why is because Demaryius Thomas has been the absolute most professional person to be around at Broncos Country, you know, at the UC Health Training Center down there in Denver. He's been phenomenal to be around, phenomenal to cover, phenomenal player, just a phenomenal human being. And you, as a Broncos fan, somebody who covers the Broncos, you're bittersweet because he's been such a valuable piece of the franchise. However, you look at it from a business standpoint, Demaryius Thomas getting up there in age a little bit, been playing in the league quite some time. He's at that point where the Broncos are looking at going to some of these younger receivers and Deshaun Hamilton, obviously Cortland Sutton, the NFL. You guys know about Cortland Sutton being in Texas. You know about his ability. He's been phenomenal for the Broncos this year. Emmanuel Sanders, still a guy that's been just absolutely going crazy this season, having a good year himself. Demaryius Thomas just wasn't getting a lot of looks from Case Keenum and this Broncos offense. And so overall, I think from a standpoint there, you know, you're sad to see him go, but financially, business-wise too, was a good move for the Broncos because it clears up over this year and next year. It's going to clear up close to almost $18 million in cap space. Yeah, I believe the Texans took on the 4.5 remaining million of his salary this year. They're going to take on the 14 next year. So for the Broncos, cap space wise, it opens them up fairly nicely in 2019. So they have the opportunity to make some other moves with that. And like you said, you get a fourth round pick and you swap seventh round picks as well. The Broncos have had a lot of success overall in terms of getting some good value out of those mid-round draft picks. I mean, look at it this year. Royce Freeman. You look at it with Cortland Sutton. You look at it with Isaac Yiadom. They've gotten some value at some of those mid-level picks, and I think that was a good value there. You know, it's not like Jerry Jones trading the first away just to get a guy like Amari Cooper. I think, you know what? The Broncos could have got a first-round draft pick if they wanted to trade Demaryius Thomas to the Cowboys, but, you know, it's just not that market right there as production with the, you know, like you said, four quarterbacks since Peyton Manning. The production hasn't been there the way it was with Peyton Manning. You know, like I said, he set a single season record in terms of receiving yards in 2014 with over 1,600 yards receiving and also, you know, 111 catches. That was huge. He had 10 100-yard games and a seven-game streak where he had 100-plus yards receiving. So the Broncos aren't far removed from that time frame. So Demaryius Thomas coming into a great situation. You know, like I said, it's bittersweet. You always envision Demaryius Thomas. If you're a Broncos fan, you'd envision him retiring in that orange.
I asked our Locked On Texans Twitter followers, do you like the Demaryius Thomas trade? It was pretty unanimous. 89% said yes. And this is a great personal story. You mentioned his mom, but this guy's gone through quite a bit. And you guys know, Texans fans will learn, but when he was a child, police raided the house where his mother and his grandmother lived. They were arrested and sentenced to 20 years in prison and life in prison, respectively, for crack distribution. They got their mother got the sentence commuted undefeated back in 2015, saw, like you said, his game for the first time, one of his games for the first time, and his grandmother as well got her sentence commuted about a year later. So just a remarkable backstory. The guy that was throwing him the ball is what I got to ask you next, and we're going to get to that in just a second. I just want to remind everybody that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans and Locked On Broncos, tell your friends, let them know they can find us on Spotify, the Google Podcast app, and iTunes. You can support us by sharing our show links with your social media followers, or take a few seconds, rate us on iTunes. Got to talk about our partners at MyBookie, because, hey, maybe you want to make a little money off some NFL games this Sunday or even the NBA. That's getting rolling. If you'd like to do it, go to MyBookie.ag. Remember who you're betting on. It's just as important as who you're betting with. They've been in business for years, have great reviews in their mobile site. Super easy to use. We'd only recommend a service that's been good to us. That's why we urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They've got in-game live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. If you're willing to deposit after 6 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Mountain, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, and if you wait till 6 p.m. 5 Mountain Time, you can get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON25. Go ahead, wait till after dinner, take the extra money. Remember, it's my bookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Cody, we got to talk a little bit about Case Keenum, because Texans fans are always interested in what's going on with him. What's the story? Let's talk about on the field before we get into the Bill O'Brien, Case Keenum, tete-a-tete this week. But tell us what's happening with Case on the field. Turnovers, I understand, are a problem.
Yeah, you know, turnovers have been a very rearing issue for Case Keenum. He's thrown an interception in every single game this season. That's been one of the most frustrating things in terms of just ball security as well. He's been sacked a few times, given up fumbles. Turnovers have been very, very huge for Case Keenum, and more so we're getting the old school Houston Texans Case Keenum compared to the Minnesota Vikings Case Keenum we saw last year. But, you know, he's still, over the last couple weeks, he's played fairly well. My biggest critique of him is he does hold the ball a little too long, and the offensive line is really not that good in pass pro. They're a much better running team, so they should run the ball more. But however, they drop Case Keenum back into the pocket, especially in play action. To me, Case Keenum is better off doing play action, rolling out to his right. I think he's better rolling out and throwing than he is just staying in the back and waiting to find somebody. That's been an issue. But yeah, you know what? Just Case Keenum, week in and week out. I mean, he's a great professional, very humble guy, admits his, you know, mistakes, takes blame for things, absolutely does all that good stuff. But overall, turnovers have been an issue, and he just hasn't looked like the same player that we saw last year. You have to wonder, is that coaching or is that player regression? For me, looking at this situation in Minnesota last year, I think a lot of it has to do with coaching.
Are the Broncos going to draft the quarterback, or do you feel after watching him for a little bit, maybe you give him a little bit more leeway, maybe another year or two, or you just kind of waiting and seeing right now?
I think the Broncos give him another year. Now, here's why. When the Broncos signed him initially to that contract, a four-year deal, the Broncos have an easy out after year two. So the Broncos right now aren't going to give up on essentially an $18 million a year investment after year one. He's got to play better. He's played decent. He's got to play better, though. The Broncos aren't going to give up on him right now. However, when you look at the situation, if Case Keenum struggles continue throughout the rest of this year and into next year, you could see him being benched next year. Essentially, the Broncos could look at drafting a quarterback this year. I'm not certain of that. You know, evident target would be, you know, a Justin Herbert out of Oregon. But really, I think the draft class for quarterbacks might be a little bit better, not this year, but next year, after Case Keenum's second year as a Denver Bronco. If things aren't working out, they have the option to cut ties and move on, and they have an option to have a, you know, a selection of some pretty good quarterbacks, especially Tua coming out of Alabama. He's the talk of the town, possibly a Jake Fromm. There's a bunch of different dynamics occurring right now in the National Football League. You don't see a lot of veteran quarterbacks out there in free agency that can come in and make a difference, unfortunately, for the Broncos. And so at this point, they're going to stick with Case Keenum, I believe, for another year. If he has a bounce back year, he finishes off the year very strong, the Broncos still, statistically speaking, have a chance to make the playoffs if they can run the table with eight straight straight games. The schedule is almost decently favorable for them to go at least 10-6 at best, and maybe at that point you might go 7-9 at worst. I think the options are there for a multitude of different things depending on how they play. But Case Keenum, if he can play better, I think the Broncos can do a lot better, and it all starts with him eliminating turnovers. He's had one in every game, so that's going to be a big key week in and week out to see if he can drop that habit that he's developed so far in 2018.
Yeah, the story here was obviously Bill O'Brien and Keenum, and Keenum said that in his book that he said that Coach O'Brien looked at me and said I'd never be more than a third string quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, it's one of those things where, is it Keenum or Bill O'Brien? But the passage in the book tells me that Keenum remembers it pretty specifically. He said, quote, I knew the Texans were going to release me once I got the call, so I drove to the facility feeling pretty bad, but not entirely hopeless. I wanted to face my destiny like a man. I also wanted to get some feedback from the coaches after they'd spent the offseason with me. I wanted to at least find out where I could improve and maybe even get some advice on taking the next step as a player. That's not what happened. And that's when he said, Coach O'Brien looked at me and told me I'd never be more than a third string quarterback in the NFL. And Cody, to me, this was so specific that, you know, if it's between Case Keenum and this really specific detail and Bill O'Brien, who sometimes has a hard time remembering when he's supposed to challenge a play or call a timeout, I'm going to go with the guy. The better memory is probably Case Keenum in this case, because that affected his life way more than it affected Bill O'Brien's.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought the same thing when I heard of, you know, I've seen Bill O'Brien. I've heard Bill O'Brien talk many times. He's very outspoken. He doesn't shy away with saying how he feels. And in his evaluation, he probably said that with Case Keenum during that time. And I think for a guy like Case Keenum, you use something like that. I think any guy at any sport, no matter what level you play, will take stuff like that. You can either do one or two things with it. You can take that advice or that feedback that you get, whether it be positive or negative, and you can allow it to define you and you can believe it, or you can work to change the narrative. And I think that's what Case Keenum has done, and certainly he did that in 2017 with the Minnesota Vikings. He had a phenomenal year. I think a lot of us thought, where did this guy come from? What happened? Now, I posed the question a little earlier. I think a lot of it has to do with coaching. I'm not sure right now with the Broncos scheme that maybe he might be in the best situation coaching-wise. I know in the offseason, you know, if the Broncos continue to lose, the hot seat for Vance Joseph, it's warm right now, and I think if the Broncos lose to the Texans, it'll be hot before the bye week. But some candidates, John DeFilippo down there at Minnesota, an offensive coordinator, will be a sought out candidate. So possibly there could be that tie if that happens, where they bring in DeFilippo as the next head coach for the Broncos if he decides to leave that situation down there in Minnesota for a head coaching job. Those are just all hypotheticals, but overall, you know, I think Case Keenum has been a phenomenal guy. Last time we talked, we talked about how professional Case Keenum is, and watching him at SMU, against SMU, for example, watching him at the University of Houston take on guys, you know, teams like SMU and other teams in that area are just thrashing them, shredding them defensively. He's a professional. He's a very humble guy. I would technically believe Case Keenum in this situation a little bit over Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, I love Case Keenum, and I thought he deserved more of a chance that he got after his first year, his rookie year. He's put in a horrible situation. There was all sorts of issues when he was with the Texans the first time, and that was unfortunate that he had nothing to do with any of that. And I think OB came in, and I remember specifically, you just watched OTAs and minicamp, and they just never put him out there as a second string guy, even a second string. It was, you know, he was already sort of banished as soon as Bill O'Brien walked through the door. You know, I want to get your thoughts on just what the Broncos fans might be interested from a, you know, from the Texans perspective, just what we are up to. But just a quick reminder that our Locked On NBA podcast with host David Locke is added Sam Amick from The Athletic and Ben Golliver of SI to the weekly lineup. You probably remember Sam Amick from his years at USA Today. Great reporter. Also, if you listen to Locked On NFL, you hear Texans, ex-Texans quarterback Sage Rosenfels every week, along with ESPN's Mike Sando and Pro Football Focus's Mike Renner. So go check out Locked On NBA and Locked On NFL. All right, Cody, what do you guys, what do you want to know from a Texans perspective, I guess? What are the Locked On Broncos listeners might be, what might they be interested in?
Oh, man, you know, there's a lot of storylines. Obviously, I don't think we know this information yet, but, you know, will Demaryius Thomas play in this game? Is it possible? I think it could be something you see, you know, with, you know, Will Fuller going out with that ACL injury. Very unfortunate. A guy who's been having a better year for him overall. You have DeAndre Hopkins. You have Sammy Coates. Who else in the receiving core do the Texans necessarily have in this matchup? And if possible, if he does play, who does Demaryius Thomas surpass, do you think?
Well, they have Sammy Coates and Vincent Smith that Bill O'Brien has not been willing to play much at all. At the slot, Tyler Irvin's been playing the last couple of weeks. He's running back, kick returner, punt returner. But Tyler Irvin has been getting a lot of the slot time with Kiki QT, the fourth round pick, who's looked incredible when he's played. The problem is he's had hamstring issues, and we're still waiting to find out what his status is going to be. They could desperately use him because he's really liked by Deshaun Watson so far. But yeah, if Demaryius is ready, and I'm hearing he's going to be in Houston by Wednesday, the Broncos already have got it working on a tribute video from what I hear when he comes in. I think he's going to be playing, and he's going to be playing a lot. He better be ready to learn that playbook and get it down. But the Texans offense looked as good as it's ever looked this season in that Miami game, and hopefully they can continue the momentum. But, you know, I'm expecting a much tougher defense with the Broncos. Your defense looks pretty darn good. I mean, are you happy with the way they've played so far?
I'd say in spurts, I think the Broncos have played relatively well against good competition. You see it against the Rams game. They really did a better job in that game of really solidifying themselves. And in that first matchup against the Chiefs a few weeks prior, they almost revealed like a formula to NFL teams. Okay, this might be how you stop a Patrick Mahomes, who's been absolutely red hot, and you get pressure to him. But the Broncos went on to lose that game, and I don't think a lot of it was due to the defense. It, you know, there were some defensive lapses there, but the Broncos defense has been strong in a lot of areas, and they're trying to rotate guys around a little bit, trying to figure things out in the secondary. There's some issues in the secondary behind the number one cornerback spot where you have Chris Harris Jr. So really my question to you here, and I want to talk about Deshaun Watson, his rib injury, and maybe looking at the question of will the altitude affect his ribs and his ability to breathe due to that rib injury he's been having. But more so, I want to look at the matchup. We're probably going to see Chris Harris Jr. lined up on DeAndre Hopkins. That's probably going to be the matchup we see. One of the best receivers in the league against one of the best corners. And I would almost hazard a guess and say that the Texans might match up Demaryius Thomas on Bradley Roby. And those guys have battled in training camp. But Bradley Roby right now, a lot of teams are looking at him as the weak link on this Broncos defense. What kind of matchup nightmares do you see essentially for Deshaun Watson to really utilize against this Broncos defense when you have Bradley Chubb and Von Miller off the edge that are absolutely crashing down and causing havoc, both leading, you know, both guys have, I believe, 14 sacks combined between the two of them. They've been wrecking havoc. He currently, you know, Bradley Chubb leads the league right now for amongst rookies in sacks. So what is your kind of scenario here for the Texans offense? What is your game plan against this Broncos defense?
Last week and recently, they've run the ball well. Lamar Miller with the biggest game that we've seen in a long time, 100 and something like 33 yards. So that's what I'm kind of expecting. I think right now, Deshaun, we've talked about it on our show, needs to be game manager. Deshaun Watson, and he needs to take care of the ball. They need to run the football. Don't get hit. Of course, you mentioned it. Those two guys, Miller and Chubb, are going to be all up in his face. I mean, as good as the offensive line looked last week, it might have been just a little bit of a mirage. We're going to find out if they can handle things this week with Davenport and Kendall Lamb. Lamb's a little bit better on the right side than Davenport is, but both of those guys are going to have the ultimate test, and that's a concern. But, you know, if you look at everything, this is going to be a defensive battle because Football Outsiders, their DVOA rankings, if you buy that, the Broncos, they're seventh on defense. The Texans are now fifth on defense. So it's basically defense against defense because the offenses obviously are not quite in that same category. Although Denver's pretty good. I mean, you know, Case Keenum, and he's got him at 10th. But the Texans' big problem has been the red zone. But they looked a little bit better there. And maybe Demaryius can help them in the red zone a little bit because that's been an issue because you could load up on DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller maybe a little bit better in space than he is close up, but they got a couple of touchdowns. touchdowns from their tight end last week, the big rookie. But rookies are going to be inconsistent. Jordan Thomas got a couple of touchdowns. So, I mean, that's kind of where I'm seeing the game go. What about you?
You know, I think of this, too, when I look at the Broncos defensively. I say it's a defensive matchup for sure. But, you know, the thing that really kind of scares me a little bit, Broncos have had some struggles against some athletic quarterbacks. And Patrick Mahomes is no difference, no exception to the theory here. Deshaun Watson is very mobile. Last year when we watched him play as a rookie, I was like, okay, this guy's going to light up the NFL for years to come. This guy looks phenomenal. He obviously, having an ACL injury kind of changes that narrative a tiny bit, but he's been playing pretty well. When you have a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, the catches that he makes, even the catches that don't get counted as catches, unbelievable. I mean, this guy's very athletic. I think it comes down to the team that really, essentially, I say the defense that forces the most turnovers in this game, I think, is going to win. For the Broncos offense, they've turned the ball over quite a bit. The Houston Texans with, you know, J.J. Watt, Christian Covington at D-end, and you have different guys, Zach Cunningham, inside backer. You have, you know, Jonathan Joseph, Aaron Colvin. You have some other guys, Tyron Matthew, Kareem Jackson. These guys that have contributed and played for this team consistently and defensively, they have the opportunity to make a lot of plays. The Broncos have given up a lot of sacks. Garrett Bowles has given up, I believe, 6 sacks this year, 6 holds. So really, I would look for the defense, you know, Romeo Crennel and his defense to really kind of game plan and trying to get pressure on Case Keenum, trying to stack him, trying to force Aaron throws into coverage. That would be the game plan for the Broncos defense. You have to find a way to slow down DeAndre Hopkins and be able to plug the Miller, plug the interior of the line against Lamar Miller and guys like Alfred Blue. And you have to keep contained on a guy like Deshaun Watson, who can hurt you on the ground with his legs. And to be honest with you, the Broncos, too, they've struggled in coverage with tight ends. Don't let Ryan Griffin slip out untouched against the secondary. We're going to see Sua Cravens back this week for the Broncos. Finally activated after being on injured reserve, delegated to return after week 8. He'll be back. He'll be a key piece with Will Parks at dime linebacker for the Broncos. The matchup specifically with tight ends, kind of, I look at this matchup too. I say, which maybe a bold prediction, whichever defense scores first, I think wins the game.
Don't worry about tight ends with the tight. I don't think that's going to be a concern. Maybe they'll surprise me. Just having those 2 touchdowns, I'm like, well, that's probably their 2 touchdowns for the 3 weeks that we're in right now. But you mentioned Zach Cunningham, also Jonathan Joseph. Both of those guys, very doubtful, I think, that they play. Cunningham got banged up, and so did Joseph in the last game. So that's going to be huge. I mean, without Jonathan Joseph, he's their best cornerback. He's played really well the last couple of weeks, the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks after struggling early in the season. That was one of the problems. The coverage was not good in a lot of different areas, and Joseph was one of it. But he's back to being the same Joseph until he got his knee banged up in the Dolphins game. And then Zach Cunningham, that's a sneaky big story, because if he doesn't play and the Texans are already without Dylan Cole, their main backup middle linebacker, and those are their 2 best guys in coverage. Bernardrick McKinney is not good in coverage. So it's possibly Brian Peters or the rookie Peter Kalambayi. Maybe Josh Kyes. None of those guys do I expect anything big from. So if Case Keenum and the Broncos know how to take advantage of that and find the mismatch right there, whether it's the running back or tight end or slot or whoever those middle linebackers are covering, I think that's a real soft spot for the Texans this week. And that's a concern going into this game. I mean, I'm a little bit worried. The Texans are pretty banged up for this game. I don't expect them to win this game. But it's going to be I mean, I would be shocked if it wasn't close, but I'm just not quite expecting him to win this game. I mean, it seems crazy for me to see that the Texans are going to win 6 games in a row.
You know, it's certainly looking, you know, let's think about it, too. They started off 0-3 and a lot. You know, some of their losses, they didn't look good. And all of a sudden, they started finding rhythm, finding momentum, 5 in a row. They're red hot right now. They're not being talked about a lot, which I think ideally you maybe want that for your team, because I think too much media exposure, too much media discussion kind of overhypes things, allows guys to get big headed. So I think the Texans have a lot to play for. They just have a lot of talent offensively, defensively. They have some talent too. I'm worried about it specifically more so guys like J.J. Watt and, you know, Jadeveon Clowney trying to maybe get around the edge a little bit. The Broncos offensive line has been absolutely horrid in pass coverage, but the Broncos really, their strength is within the run game. Their run blocking is phenomenal. It's superb. Phillip Lindsay averaged 7.6 yards per carry last week. He could have ran for more. He had 18 carries, close to 100 yards. He had several big runs. I'd probably say two big runs that were 20-plus yards called back due to a holding call. The Broncos had 10 penalties last week, 83 total yards. That was killer. But the Broncos, they're missing some things offensively, and I'm hoping they can get back on track this week against the Texans. Like I said, it's going to be an emotional game. Demaryius Thomas last time in Denver, not in a Broncos uniform, but in a Texans uniform. And the Broncos will have a video tribute. They will pay tribute to him before the game. Absolutely phenomenal. You know, you might get a little teary-eyed there. I really appreciate everything Demaryius Thomas has done for the Broncos. I think he's going to be a big asset to the Houston Texans. You guys got such a good human being and wide receiver. I think it's going to make a difference for him in Houston.
That's the X factor this week. I mean, if there's anything that could go right for the Texans, it's, you know, Demaryius's revenge, I guess. that's what I'm maybe that's the, because that's where they might get offense that they weren't expecting, you know, without Will Fuller, of course, and just, you know, with the Denver's defense, I think, being pretty solid. I mean, I like what I saw from Kansas City. I mean, it's crazy when you give up 30 points to the Chiefs and you go, well, wasn't a bad defensive effort. It's the Chiefs. And it was just, I was amazed at that they were able to do that much with the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs are just offense is ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, I think there's a note. It went over my head, but Wes Welker is a coaching assistant with the Texans, and those guys played together. Demaryius Thomas, Wes Welker. So they're going to have that little bit of a connection, or maybe just seeing each other and reminiscing on the good times you had Peyton Manning and things like that. But obviously a cool connection down there. Wes Welker really avid in terms of wanting to work with wide receivers a little bit more. I think he can help out. I think having Demaryius Thomas there is going to be good for some of these young guys, and Vincent Smith and Kiki Kuti. And I think there's going to be a lot of good opportunities for this Texans team going forward with the leadership in the locker room. I mean, you're not just getting a guy on the field that's a leader in the locker room. For morale, Demaryius Thomas is one of the best guys you can have.
You got anything else? I think we got it covered.
I'm all good. You know, I want to thank Texans fans that listen to, obviously, Locked On Texans and the Locked On Broncos podcast for the crossover show. You know, we appreciate everybody that listens, because it's fun breaking down this matchup. It's going to be interesting to see. You know, you can catch out Robert and myself. We'll be live tweeting the game. I'll be posting my analysis as well. You know, I love interacting with fans of all teams. I cover the Broncos, but I also love covering the NFL. So if you're a Texans fan, shoot me a follow on Twitter at @CodyRourkeNFL. I will follow you back. Just mention it to me. Love to follow, talk football with you. Very impressed with where the Texans are heading so far early on in the season. A good record, good start, 5-3 overall, shaking off a rusty start overall. Can the Broncos get back on track? That's going to be a big question. But hey, Robert, very, very excited. Love doing these shows with you guys.
Can't wait. Can't wait for Sunday. Looking forward to it. @LockedOnTexans on Twitter, of course. @LockedOnBroncos. You just mentioned it. @CodyRourke.